Coming to you from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studio, this is Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, good morning to you. We are up and rolling on this beautiful, what day is it?
Wednesday?
Wednesday morning.
Wednesday.
And another chilly one. It's another chilly burger.
Be careful out there. Very gusty winds, too. So please be careful, especially north.
If I had said it was Friday, would you believe me?
No.
No. Man. I'd wish with you, but.
Why is that?
Well, because then it'd be the weekend.
Oh, it'd be the weekend.
Yeah.
Now, that'd be a problem because I'd be in here on Thursday and then you wouldn't be here and we'd have trouble.
Okay. Fair point.
Couldn't go on air.
You've convinced me.
Super Die could actually get us going here. But
yeah, that's true.
Okay.
We're going to be tackling here all week long a really fun thing. I get an opportunity to share with you from my heart at a heart level like I haven't maybe ever. I try to be as vulnerable as I can be, but boy, I'll tell you what, we're putting it out there this week. I have recently authored, and it's just released, The 7 Resolutions, Where Self-Help Ends and God's Power Begins. And what I wanted to do here today, let me forecast where we're going. So today we're going to tackle a very important resolution, probably one that there's no more important resolution than the other. The one that we're going to hit on Friday is going to be Join God. The reason we're going to hit redeem time tomorrow, and by the way, joining God is not what you might think it is, so we'll surprise you with that one. Redeeming time on Thursday we're going to hit, and the reason we're hitting redeeming time on Thursday is a lot of people think that Zig Ziglar or Covey or James Clear, who wrote Atomic Habits, invented time redemption. No, God invented time redemption.
True that.
So we're going to be dealing with that one on Thursday. But today we're going to deal with one that is, Robert Lewis gave an endorsement for this book. And when he called me after he gave the endorsement, I was super humbled by it. This is a man I respect in a big, big way. But he said, Carl, this chapter, and he said this resolution number 3 called Kill Sin. Yeah. He said, this is the one that is the game changer. He said, we don't talk about this in the church.
Yeah.
He said, I'm so fired up about you having this available and walking people through it. So let me just say this. John Owen is famous, old-time writer from long since gone on to his reward. He's famous for tackling this topic of sin, and he says it this way, be killing sin or it will be killing you. That's a powerful statement. Be killing it or it will be killing you. And I've shared this story before, but when you're haunted by sin, it can just, I mean, it's like an forever cumulus cloud over your head. It can be beautiful blue sky out there, but you can find yourself feeling like...
quicksand. I feel like I'm in quicksand.
Yeah. Like, it's like, what's going on? I know the promises of God, but man, I am feeling so shamed and sinking. And I don't know how to get out of this thing.
Yeah.
Nope.
And one of my famous sins, if I could call it that, infamous probably is a better word, was filling out my application for Bible college and lying on it.
I lied to
get into Bible college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you haven't heard this story before, great. If you have, don't tune away. I'll be right back.
It's a goodie.
But I lied to get into Bible college because I had been set free from cocaine and Crown Royal. And so I thought, well, man, I'm doing pretty good here.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you guys, it was amazing because not only did I lie by saying to the Bible college, they'd asked me, do you use tobacco products? Well, I got a mouthful of Skoal, which is chewing tobacco. I got a mouthful of Skoal. And I deduce, if I fill out, I do. It's a good chance that's a deal breaker to go to Bible college.
They won't let me in this place.
And I want to get in. In fact, I know it's God's will that I get in. But God's will wasn't for me to get in and lying to do it.
Right.
No.
I can assure you that.
Yeah.
But I did what some young followers of Jesus do. You get compartmentalized life. You get a whole big areas that are winning, and then you get some areas that are just really losing.
Talk your way into anything.
Yeah,
we're out
and
of it.
I put down on there, no, I do not use tobacco products, and shipped out the application. I felt like a loser the minute I shipped it. Then I felt like a loser when I got accepted to the Bible college. And I felt like a loser as I drove north on Interstate 5 all the way up to Oregon from California. And I felt like a loser when I threw my last can of Skol out the window only to get off the overpass, double back, and go hunt for the can of Skol in the median. Guys, it was about a few weeks into school, I think, and I was so overcome with shame and guilt and conviction that I went to the president and ultimately the dean of students, and I went and told him, I said, you know what, I lied to get in here, and I'm so sorry. You know, they were so gracious. They didn't boot me out. They let me stay, and they said, you're probably not the first guy that's lied to get in here. You might be one of the first that came and actually told us about it. But
well,
it was really sweet because they kept me around. But here's what I want you to know. Some of you know what it's like today to be trying to manage sin, kind of disguise it, cover it up, explain it away, minimize it. And I want to tell you today, that can't be done anymore. So the question is, what are we going to do with it? Well, first, I want to raise the stakes and tell you, coming up here in a moment, why in the world sin has, what kind of downside impact does it have on your life? Is it just the sin? No, it's a whole lot more. What is it? That's coming up straight ahead.
New to the show? Stick around for a while. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, good morning to you. We're off and running here. By the way, we're going to have a resource available to you here in just a moment. But first, let me set the deck. You know, one of the things that we find in Scripture as we're walking through, we find calling on our life. One of them is put to death everything that hinders you in your walk with God. Put sin to death. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. He goes on to say it's better to be cast into heaven without a limb than it is to go to hell with all limbs in place.
Wow.
So here's the point. There's a lot of cost to sin, but sometimes we underestimate just what it does. Yes, it's not only the sin, but it's the downstream impact on our relationship with God. I want to tell you that sometimes our sin, listen to me, we're all going to sin. We're going to miss the mark. I'm talking about those sins that we try to keep squelched, hidden, under wraps, or manage ourselves. They are destructive. Here's why. God is a jealous God. And he loves you enough to freeze you out. What do I mean? Sometimes your prayers go nowhere when you're living with unchecked sin in your life. And I mean this. Let me give you about six examples here, and I'm going to do this slow, but we're going to be very calculated with it. Resisting the truth. If anyone turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So think about this. People that turn away their ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So if you don't care for the statutes of God, you can pray till you want, all you want. They won't be heard. A second one, praying self-focused prayers. This is another way God freezes you out. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. That's James 4:3. That's just real, guys. If you head off and you're praying and what you're praying for is all about you, God lovingly says, I'm not going to hear those prayers.
Yeah. It's not a Christmas list.
Treating wives poorly. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life. Oh, it doesn't stop there, comma. So that your prayers may not be hindered. What? It means this.
Yeah.
And I've had this happen before. When you live with your wife in a way that is not understanding, God lovingly will freeze your keister out of communication with them.
Hmm.
I'll give you another.
Hard to think.
Practicing empty religion. Why have we fasted? This is out of Isaiah 58. And see it not. Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. That's empty religion. You set aside a day, we're going to fast. Well, guess what? Big diddly squat. You got nothing for it.
Yeah.
Here's two more. Hiding your sin. If you cherished iniquity in my heart, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. See, David didn't cherish it up. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to hide this here. He made it available to God. He exposed it to God.
Oof.
So let me hit the last one here. Walking the fence, I'm calling it. If any of you lacks wisdom and he asks God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Here's the bottom line. This isn't a threat. It's a promise. If we straddle this fence and try to have one foot in trust in God, one foot in trust in self, we can pray all we want. We will not hear. But when we go in our heart and we go with this attitude, oh God, I'm cognizant, I'm aware of the fact that I can't get myself through this. I need you. Give me wisdom. Hear my prayer, oh God. And God, for any part of me that is wayward from you and still kind of trusting in my own power, forgive me of that and bring me right back to you again. God hears that prayer. He hears it. This is a cool promise, guys. So coming up, I want to encourage you to start hating a whole lot more.
Oh, why are you looking at me? He looks up from the bottom. Hey, excuse me.
Are you sure this is what we should be talking
Yes, we need to. This isn't shifting gears. This has to do with killing sin. I want to invite you into hating a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. Some of you are like, oh, no, Christians aren't supposed to hate. Oh, yes, they are. We'll tell you what it's all about coming up.
Get more from your morning show. Check us out on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
Man, we haven't even told you how to get a hold of this thing yet.
I was thinking the same thing. Yes, Carl's book actually released officially yesterday, The 7 Resolutions Where Self-Help Ends and God's Power Begins. We can give you the details, how to get the book and all the just the information that goes with it. Text the word 7. Just text that word 7. The phone number 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624.
Yeah, just the word 7, yeah. And that'll get it to you. By the way, you're going to find there a day planner. You're going to find an assessment and a link for a book and a lot of different places to go get it. Okay. I know this sounds crazy, but hate isn't commonly seen as a virtue, but I propose to you it needs to be. There are things God absolutely hates. Listen to this out of Proverbs 6:16-19. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Whoa. How about that last one? Don't be so in discord.
Yeah.
That ain't good. Romans 12:9 tells us to, ready for this? Hate or abhor what is evil. Hate is the precursor in this verse, by the way, to hold fast to what is good. In other words, you can't hold fast to what is good without hating what is evil. Now,
that's true.
This is what I want you to know. The biblical term sin is derived from the word hamartia in the Greek. And or the word hata in the Hebrew. It's an archery or a spear-throwing term to miss the mark or flawed. When you sin, you miss the mark. And the question is, what are you going to do when you sin? If we ignore it, it's to our peril. If we try to explain it away, it's to our peril. If we try to manage it in our strength,
there you go.
That's the real problem.
Yeah.
So coming up, we're going to do something really fun here. We're going to walk through right out of the 7 resolutions. I'm going to give you a little insight into this resolution of killing sin. We're going to walk through 3 vital elements that you got to have in your life to kill sin. They're over and over again in Scripture. 3 vital elements, how to get them into your life and how to get them lived out in your life so that once and for all, you can put sin to death. It's Owens who said it. I love his quote. I mean, it is powerful. John Owens said, be killing sin or it will be killing you. Let's go kill some sin straight ahead.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Great to have you with us today. It's Carl and Crew Mornings, helping you take your next step with Jesus. We've got Allie out today again.
Again?
I know. No, I know. It's a problem, man. It's no, it isn't. She's in COVID protocol.
Yeah. Yes. So
COVID came to her house last week.
I know.
Stopped in, kicked up his feet, and left some of that junk behind.
Mm-hmm.
So we got him out. We had him taken out yesterday. We had COVID taken out. We called some of Chicago's finest. They went up there, drug him out to the curb.
Yeah, eviction patrol. Threw
the stuff on the lawn.
Yeah, and threw his stuff on the lawn, the COVID stuff,
right,
which is basically snotty noses and achy muscles. Threw them all out on the lawn.
Yeah.
But there's some still left in the house.
Yeah, he leaves residuals around.
Wasn't a guest I enjoyed either.
No, you did.
Had to be gone.
Yeah, it's out of here. Whew. So she will be back as soon as COVID protocols pass by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're tackling here today killing sin. This is the third resolution in the seven resolutions, and we gave you already a link how to get that. If you didn't get it, we'll give it to you again in a little bit here. But let's jump into this. We know that God calls us to kill sin because it's repeated over and over again. But I want to tell you that there's three common threads for killing sin that we find in Scripture. I'm not saying you have to have all three to make it happen, but I'm saying with all three of these, mm-hmm, sin can't survive.
Okay. All right.
Hmm.
I don't think you need all three, but with all three, sin doesn't have a chance.
Okay.
I mean that.
All right.
I'm not over-promising and under-delivering here. I promise you that. So let me break it down, and let's hit the first one now, and then we'll cover the next two in the next couple of segments here.
Yeah. Okay.
The first one is expose it. You got to bring it into the light of truth. The way you do this is...
She's groaning.
You okay over there?
I'm already groaning. I got to do what? I'm sorry.
I thought we had COVID came back in. So here's what you need to know.
Yeah.
When you bring sin into the light of truth, three powerful things happen. One, the cleansing process begins and it's thorough. Number two, you'll realize you're not alone and not the only one. Mm. Number three, you live in authentic community and are freed from shame and isolation. So when I say expose it or bring it into the light of truth, I mean expose it. 1 John 1 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. See, what's joined here is honesty with God brings fellowship with others. James 5 says the same thing, man. The way you really break through in strained relationships oftentimes is let that person that's been hiding sin bring it into the open. How important is exposing it to you guys?
I think at this point, when you're saying expose it, that's exactly the opposite of what Satan wants to do, and that's why he keeps
Bingo.
It, because he's darkness. Don't expose it. No light. That sin keeps you from community. It keeps you from accountability. You know, it keeps everything hidden, including yourself.
Bingo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know for me, I can think back to specific times where exposing it was the actual key for me. To getting those things permanently out of my life. And so it makes a difference. It really does.
It makes a big, big difference. So expose it. That's one thing. Having the courage to do that. By the way, am I saying expose it to people who you just meet? No way.
No. Mm-hmm.
Find some people that you trust.
Right, yeah.
Go to God first, but then find some people who you trust and lay it out there and watch what God will do. I am convinced he will do something amazing just by exposing it. In fact, I would say this, you might not need these next two, but exposing it alone usually isn't enough.
Hmm.
You can't just say, hey, I got this thing over here. You've got to at least take step two.
Get some support. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And beyond support, then we go into step two, because exposing it's the support, but can have people going, oh, thanks for telling me all day long. But then you got to go, all right, what's next here?
Yeah.
Right.
That's coming up straight ahead.
No energy? No problem. We have all the energy you need and more. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
All right, guys. We got a resource for you. I don't know if this guy's worth listening to or even reading, but we got one for you. Can you imagine if I did that to someone else out there?
Oh, my goodness.
I probably have, though, in the past.
Because
I love to tease around.
I was going
to
say, if anything, only someone who's only like teasing, a really good friend of yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So that being said, what do we got?
We do. Carl's book, his brand new book came out yesterday officially, The Seven Resolutions Where Self-Help Ends and God's Power Begins. So we're continuing to talk about it, but we want to get it into your hands, how to get it. So we've got a resource for you, a link. Just text the word seven, that word seven, to 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624. Again, the word is seven.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
All right. So expose it. That's one way to kill sin for sure, and that's one of the three that I see over and over again in Scripture. And I mean, it's not once or twice. It's repeated in central passages. The next one is attack it. We're in a war. John Piper says it this way. Until you believe that life is war, that the stakes are your soul, you will probably just play at Christianity with no blood earnestness and no vigilance and no passion and no wartime mindset. I'll tell you right now, we got to get serious with this thing called sin. This is what Jesus said. He got graphic. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Whoa. Think about him saying that.
Yeah.
It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes and to be thrown into the hell of fire. What's he saying here? Jesus is being very hyperbolic. Is he saying you can lose your salvation? No way. He's talking about the impact of sin that can keep people from heaven for a lifetime and eternity. So he's saying if it's got this kind of downstream effect, maybe we need to be taking it seriously here, guys.
Very seriously.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
So here's the principle. The first one is expose it. Second one is attack it. You've got to attack it. Jesus, he's not being literal when he uses this hyperbole, but he is being hyperbolic to illustrate a point. We've got to do everything we can to cut off the supply line of sin in our life. Do everything we can to sever what's killing us. One of the things that I've come to the conclusion of is that we've got to quit playing patty cake with sin. We play patty cake with it. Let me be this honest with you about this. My wife and I had a friend who has gotten great victory over weight in their life, which is afflicts a lot of people in our culture today, many, many millions.
Yeah.
But this is what this person learned. First big step for getting victory over food addiction problems. Have nothing in the house that, if you ate it, compromises you from a sugar, garbage kind of putting trash in the bin of your stomach kind of perspective.
Mm.
Don't even have it there. Don't have anything in your house that's going to cause you to possibly stumble.
Mm.
That's just wise.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if all you got in the refrigerator is greens. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
You've got like negative caloried foods. Now,
right.
By the way, it's easy for me to say. I weighed 172 or ish my whole life.
Hmm.
Okay. But I will say this. I have other things in my life that I got to deal with, and I'm just like anyone else out there. We've all got things that we're susceptible to, and we've got to take extreme measures to attack it.
Yes.
So with food, don't get the Cheetos, family pack.
Mm-hmm.
Leave that at the store. And by the way, that doesn't mean you can't go out and have a little splurge every now and then, but get the consistent, don't let that sucker own you, man. You put it in your house, it's like it's going to be calling your name, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Hello?
Like anything.
Aren't you hungry? Yes, but it's 1 a.m. I know, but you're hungry. You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
If you struggle with money and spending, we've had friends that have done this before. And they struggle so much that it's like, uh-oh, what am I going to do? One woman came into her group, said, I'm battling. I want you to hold me accountable. And she got bold. She said, showing you I'm cutting up my credit cards, but that hasn't worked in the past. Oh. I've found other ways to get money out of the ATMs.
Oh, wow.
So what I'm doing now is I'm saying to you, here are my accounts. You can look through them to see what I'm spending or if I'm taking cash out.
That was great.
I'm telling you in a humble moment here, I've given you everything that I know. How cool is that?
That's really cool. Oh,
so there's a lot of different things we can do. Coming up in a moment, though, I want to hit the third one, which is overwhelm it. Overwhelm it with what you say. We'll tell you straight ahead.
Waking you up with adrenaline and Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
All right, guys. Awesome, awesome, awesome to have you with us here today. And on this beautiful Wednesday morning, it's a little bit chilly. It's going to be that way for a few more days, it looks like.
Kind of gusty, too, so be careful.
Yeah. We want to just be super clear with you about how to kill sin. This is the third resolution in my book, The Seven Resolutions, where self-help ends and God's power begins. By the way, quick heads up, how do they get a copy of this thing?
Yeah, text the word seven. That's all you got to do. Text the word seven to 312-274-9624. That number again, 312-274-9624.
Good. Okay, so here's the deal. If you expose sin, now it's out of the shadows and into the light. That's a huge thing. That's when things can get kind of sanctified, and get cleaned up. When you attack it, you're taking away its ability to continue to hold a stronghold in your life, and you're just like taking a weed whacker to it, man. You're getting after it. But that's actually a good analogy, because then we got to do something else. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 5:16. This is the most powerful single verse in the scriptures about dealing with sin in your life. You ready for it?
Okay.
Yeah.
But I say, walk by the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, capital S, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What? That's what he said. You walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Listen, here we find Paul writing in Romans 8. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Bottom line, here's what I got to give you. Here's the bottom line. Let the Holy Spirit's filling defeat your sin cravings. I'm going to say it again. Let the Holy Spirit's filling defeat your sin cravings. And it's this simple. If you look at your life, as I've used this here before, as a, let's just say it's a container. I've got a water pitcher back here that you kind of purify water in. Yeah. Let's just imagine that's your day, and you get a chance to put in there what you want. You put in it what you want, and then what comes out of it is really what you put in it.
Sure, yeah.
But this is exactly what Paul's saying. He's saying this, that if you choose to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and not to make, well, not to be filled up with the flesh, you will not make provision for the flesh. You know how you, flesh is the Greek word sarx, that it just means all those things that are part of us, including sin, that are not part of the Spirit of God at work in us. So the way you don't leave room for that stuff is simple. Don't leave room for that stuff. Make no provision. How do we do it? Get filled up with the Spirit. And you might say, well, Carl, how does that work? It is a mindfulness, a ever-present mindfulness of the fact that the Holy Spirit is real. He's at work. He lives in us, and he wants to fill us up. When I'm mindful of the Holy Spirit, I'm humbled, and then I'm open to saying, oh, Holy Spirit, come now, fill me up. Drive out this other junk in my life. I saw it happen this morning already. Drive out this other junk in my life and fill me up. And man, the Holy Spirit in our life filling us up can change perspective. I mean, immediately. Man. Want you to get the resource, and we're going to be mixing it up next hour as well. We're going to be, by the way, in the next hour, giving away a copy or two or three. Not in the next hour, but one per hour.
Okay.
Called The Seven Resolutions. But if you want to get a copy of this right now, and by the way, not just a copy of this book, but also a couple other key things.
Yeah, if you go to this page, 7resolutions.com is the site, by the way, 7resolutions.com. But yeah, access to the book. There's a phenomenal planner that goes with it, and there's an assessment test as well. So we've got those details for you. We've got the we've got the link. So just text the word 7, and we'll get it right to you. Text that word 7, and the phone number is 312-274-9624, 312-274-9624.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.